Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show. Here on this Tuesday, March 5th of 2019, and I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. Yes, we're on a bit more of an early start tonight because I have the Holy Spirit Conference starting tonight out at Living Word Church, 1 mile north of US 10 on Stark Road, right hand side of the road, 2010 North Stark. For information, go online to markybarclay.com. You'll be able to stream the services on the website or on the Marky Barclay app, available on the iPhone and the Android app store. So, my belief is that you've come ready to receive something from God in this show, as well as the conference, if you're able to be a part of it, either via the stream or going live. I'm going to give you a punch key update real quick, and then I'm going to get into the word for a little bit. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11 and read that faith chapter. So we're going to keep it a little bit of a lighter night tonight. So Hornsky, I tried the peanut butter Hornsky from Gourmet Cupcake Shop and it was delicious. Was it the best punch cake I've ever had? I don't know. But it was pretty awesome for a punch cake. And I really like punch cakes quite a bit. They're just so delicious. And so wonderful. And you know, Fat Tuesday only comes once a year. Enjoy them while you can. Please, please, please. Listeners, as for telling others how to be a part of the show, you can have them go to blogtalkradio.com. And then once you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. On the search bar, you'll want to type in Upfront Entertainment. After you do that, you'll see a link that says Living Large. Go ahead and click on that. And you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. You want to click that. Then you'll see a follow button. We want you to click that because then you'll start getting notified as we get ready to do our shows. So tomorrow night at 4:30, we'll have our next show. And then after that, when Monday comes, we'll be back to normal around here. So we can just get back to normal and normal times and everything else. And we always say, it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Okay. We're going to pray. Yeah, we're going to pray and then we're going to open the word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great word. I thank you for this great conference this week at Living Word. I thank you that your Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all of us who attend the conference and who choose to enter into worship and praise, pay attention to the Word of God as it is brought forth, and be a part of everything that happens in the service. And I just thank you, Lord, that your Word will go forth with great boldness, people will receive. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And wherever you're at, go ahead and study. I always say, if I study, you study. When I pray, you pray. If I start singing, you go ahead and sing along with me. Okay? So, as I said, we're opening it up to Hebrews 11. We're going to read about and talk about faith. Let's read Hebrews 6 first, though. I want to read the first few verses. I think I do want to read chapter 6, and then we'll go to chapter 11. We want to get the word in us. So here we go. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying, again, the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. Instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God in the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because by their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those of whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burnt. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through whose faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. And when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore to himself, saying, I will surely bless you and will give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now let's go to 11. We're going to 11. We're going to 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For before he was born, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. Yes, it is. You can. If you try to please God without faith, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. When you try to please Him without faith, try it. Won't work. I'm just fixing something real quick. Now I've got it fixed so we can continue. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir by the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made the home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, just like Isaac and Jacob did. There were heirs with them of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Turn of the page. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. None of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let me go to that first two verses. Hebrews 12 now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Awesome. All right. You know, God shows us all of these different examples of people who walk by faith, no matter what. And they did it regardless of how hard it got. Trying to think here a little bit. Let's take for all I want to say about it. But folks, and then I'm just thinking about it, about something. You know, you can't please God without faith. Can't do it. Try it. It's not going to work. You say, well, my uncle, did you try to please God without faith? Well, I know one thing. Trying to pleasing God without faith is impossible. And you know how I know? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It also tells us that we got to earnestly seek Him. Earnestly, that means being fervent. It means doing it all the time. And like really meaning it. And being real serious about it and not just doing it once in a while, not just doing it because it's the Holy Spirit conference, not just doing it because a great preacher is in the house, not just because it's Sunday or whatever. No, today's not Sunday, but just say it. Could be like that. And we should be seeking God all the time, not just, I'll do it when it's convenient. I'll do it when I can fit God in my schedule. Right now I'm busy. I got this to do. I got that to do. I got to take care of my dog, my cat, my roses, my kids, my tractor, my car. Oh, my goodness, my car. People make these excuses. It's got to be God first. And I don't mean to overemphasize the car thing or anything like that. People will come up with the craziest excuses as to why they don't seek God, or why their church attendance is lapsed, or why, you know, sometimes it's, you know, the common, I got to work or whatever, but other times, it would just be some of the silliest ones. And why they will make these excuses, I don't know, but you see, because Moses and Aaron believed in God, the Israelites were able to pass through the Red Sea as on dry land. After Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. The Egyptians tried to cross that Red Sea, but they were drowned. And there wasn't no lifeguard there to give them CPR or do a save or any of that. Nope, they perished right on the spot when they all drowned. A couple other examples. You see, Abraham, you know, Sarah, his wife, it was actually Sarai at the time, but then God later changed her name to Sarah, just like how Abram's name got changed to Abraham. But you see, when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, at that point, Sarah and Abraham were some pretty old fellows. It said that Abraham was like 99 years old. By that point, most people in this country are dead. So he had that child at 99 years old. Think about it. 99. And that ain't no 29, I can tell you that much. Oh, and by the way, it ain't 39 either. No, it's not. I'm not saying Abraham was tired or anything like that. It's different. But God still used Sarah. Anyways, opened her womb. And she had that son, named him Isaac, and Isaac became great. And God used Jacob and Joseph. And the story of Joseph is such a powerful story there in Genesis. Several of them, including, you know, the coat of many colors, which we dealt with a year and a half ago or so. And eventually I'm going to deal with that one again, because that one was such a great one. I don't know when, but for the next few weeks or months, I think I'm going to pull that one back out. It was an awesome story. And I keep dealing with Bible heroes. And we're going to continue on with that. Right now we're dealing with like Samuel, David, that, and we're going to keep going through David. Then after that, we'll see what goes from there. I might do Daniel next. Or Solomon, because lately I've always been going kind of in order of the books of the Bible. I think we're going to start mixing it up a little bit. So, I don't know if I'm going to deal with Jonah next after I'm done, after I'm all done with David. I don't know if I'm going to go with Jonah, Daniel, or Solomon. But it'll be one of the three. And I really enjoy going through these heroes. And we've had a lot of, we've went through a lot of them already. Hi, who is it?
Hi.
What?
Hi.
Ty Smith?
Hi.
Ty? Sorry, I'm in the middle of doing something. But anyhow, folks, yeah, that's what we've been dealing with. I'm going to pray real quick and then going to have a quick Red Wings score, and then we're going to close up shop. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you that we just get this on the inside of us, and that you just use us, and guide us in everything we do. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Now, Red Wings, another day, another loss. This time they lost to Philly 3-2. Right now, the Red Wings are only 5 points away from being last place in the whole NHL standings. Not good. At least the Tigers got a good win yesterday. Got who they beat, but they beat somebody. And today they beat in Lynn. They played in Lakeland. I don't know who they beat yet, but I'll let you know tomorrow. Miguel Cabrera did hit a home run a couple days ago, which is great to see. However, that does not count towards his grand total for like regular season, postseason, because it's just exhibition. Michael Fulmer pitched a couple innings, and he did decent. A run on 4 hits. He gave up. Hopefully in the regular season he can be that good within like 6 innings or so. And hopefully we can start to heat up as we get warmer weather in the regular season and that. So, also the Pistons, 6th seed. They are now the 6th seed in the NBA East. 6th seed, believe it or not. So that's great to see. Their next game is, I believe it's tomorrow. And then Chemex tonight up in Gaylord to play Marquette. Gave the pick last night. I said Comics 52. Snowtown USA 49. I almost called them the Red Lights instead of the Redmen, but it's been snowing so much in the UP this year that I had to mess it up a little bit. So, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.